Would you please turn with me to our first scripture reading, our main text, the 1 John. We'll be reading 1 John chapter 3, the last two verses, 22 and 23, through chapter 4, through verse 6. This is the word of the Lord. Verse 22 of chapter 3 of 1 John. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abide in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome him, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would encourage your people, that you would uplift their people, edify them, and Lord, we would bring to salvation those who have not fled to you this evening. We pray your blessing on your word, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brethren, my goal tonight is to encourage you in the gospel. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. We can't get away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as believers. We like to think that the gospel is to preach to sinners, which it is. But the gospel is for us. The gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. And it's all about truth. The Christian life is all about truth. For it's all about Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Christian knows the truth, because the Christian has the spirit of truth living within them. And having the spirit of truth, brethren, abiding in us, our whole life should be and is centered on the truth, the word of truth, Jesus Christ himself, and all that is spoken about him and through him in his holy word. It is by his word, brethren, that we've been set free from slavery and from the spirit of error, Satan himself. He is the prince of this world, children. Satan is the prince of this world, and the world listens to Satan, to the devil. Christians do not listen to the devil, because they've been born again by the Spirit of God and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to know, children, that we need to flee to Christ. We need to come to the Lord Jesus, ask him to forgive us, because we are all sinners, and we need to be saved by grace alone, in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. In John chapter 8, Jesus spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. You see, as our text will speak of the false prophets of John's day, we have many false prophets in our day and in Jesus' day as well. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And that's what I mean, children. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Whoever continues in sin and not repenting of that sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. These religious teachers did not truly believe in Christ, for they did not abide in his word and in his teaching. They, like all people in the world, didn't have the truth abiding in them by the Spirit of truth, and they were slaves to sin. And Jesus goes on to tell these religious leaders that their father is not his father. Their father is the devil. Many, including religious leaders of our day, say that they believe in Jesus. But they, like the scribes and Pharisees, don't have the truth. They don't have Christ living in them by the Spirit of truth. And so they can't follow Christ, and they can't obey Christ, and they can't obey his word. They are slaves to sin and to Satan. In our first scripture reading in Matthew chapter 7, we read some very sobering words, words that all need to hear. First, Jesus said, "The way to eternal life is narrow, for it is through Jesus alone that eternal life is found. And the way is hard." We heard this morning from Pastor Dan about the Christian life is a hard life. It's a narrow life. It is a life of sacrifice. It is a life of picking up our cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ and leaving the world and its system and its thoughts and its errors behind. He says the way to eternal destruction, though, is wide. It's broad. And most people go that way. They go to eternal destruction. And that way is very easy because you don't have to worry about sin. You don't have to worry about being dedicated, sacrificing your life for anyone. You just do what you want for yourself. It's plain and simple. It's easy. Just follow the ways of the world. Seek approval from the world. That's one of the things, children, that is in our day. Everyone wants the approval of the world. And the world will bring you to hell. And all the children that are seeking approval from the world, if they don't repent, they will go to eternal destruction. They will be separated from God forever. These are sobering words, children and adults. Jesus gives them warning about false teachers and how to recognize them. They have bad fruit. They speak falsehood. They have no truth. They do not have the Spirit of truth. They bear bad fruit, and they will be cut down and thrown into the fire just like the rest of the world. Jesus then speaks about these same people who say they believe. They call Jesus Lord, but they, like the scribes and Pharisees, they don't obey the truth. They don't really know the truth, and they don't know Jesus, and he doesn't know them. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Though these people did many signs and wonders, they were not from the Spirit of truth. They were not from Jesus, but from the pit of hell. They practice lawlessness, Jesus says. They were still slaves of sin and Satan, and their fruit was bad, and they were on the broad road to destruction. And Jesus was on to say that those who build their house, if they build it on the rock, on the solid rock, on Jesus Christ, and they hear and they practice his words, they will not fall. They will not be overcome by the world. But those who build their house on sinking sand will be destroyed. Jesus, when he comes to judge the living and the dead, he will separate the sheep from the goats. And those who are not his, those who did not hear his words, will be cast into eternal judgment and fire, where the fire is never quenched. It's a serious thing, especially children, if you have not come to Christ. Adults, if you have not come to Christ, if you listening have not come to Christ, Jesus' words are very clear.
you're on the broad road and you're headed for destruction. And so the Christian life is that hard road. It's a daily battle against the spirit of the world. He tempts us. He seduces us. He brings all kinds of lies through false teachers, through other means to order to minimize your and my effectiveness for the kingdom of God. This spirit, the one who is against Christ in this world, the Antichrist, already has the whole world under his domain, under his sway, and he's the prince of all those not redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. But those who have been bought, those of us who have been bought out from the power and control and the mercy, by the mercy and grace of God, and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, are no longer under his control. And we were bought with the price of Christ's shed blood on Calvary's tree, and have been made new creatures in Christ through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And so, believer, Christian tonight, the one who has been raised to new life, you have that the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you are now joined to the Lord. You are one with him. You need not be overwhelmed with the battle, because the battle is already won, and you are already victorious in Christ. You are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's, and he will bring us to victory. And so, brethren, we can be of good cheer, and we can rejoice that we are even in the battle, that we have counted the cost of being a disciple of Christ. If you have not counted the cost of a sacrificial life for the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be his. But if you have counted the cost, knowing that you will not save your life in this life so that you will lose it, but you will lose your life in this life so that you will save it. And by his power, we will be preserved, and our faith will not fail, because he ever lives to pray and intercede for us. So, brethren, we are safe and secure in the arms of Christ. His steadfast love for you and me never fails. But how about you tonight? Do you hear the words of Christ? Have you believed into him for eternal life? Do you follow and obey him? Are you in the battle tonight? But even if Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was in the battle, and he said, but even if our gospel is veiled, if no one can hear it, it is veiled to those who are perishing. If you don't hear the gospel, if you don't hear the words, you're perishing. Whose minds the God of this age, the spirit of error, has blinded, and they do not believe, lest the gospel, the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord, and ourselves, bondservants for Jesus' sake. Are you a bondservant of Christ tonight? For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, we're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Are you united to Jesus Christ tonight? Have you been set free from sin and guilt by fleeing to Jesus for forgiveness of your sins? Do you need to know? You need to know this tonight. For the answer to these questions determine where you will spend eternity. Here in our text tonight, brethren, the Apostle John knows that we Christians need to be engaged in the battle, fully armed with the gospel, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he is for us, and all of the promises that we have in Christ. And now John, remember, 1 John wrote this epistle for the explicit purpose of you knowing that you have eternal life, that you are sure, that you are positive, that you are certain that you have eternal life. And so John begins this epistle with the truth that we are one. In chapter 1 of this same epistle, John begins with the words that we are one with God the Father and the Son and the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have fellowship, we have communion, koinonia, with the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. This fellowship is as close and as intimate as it could possibly be, because we are made one with God. John knows that the main weapon of the Antichrist, since we already have the victory by faith, is deception. His plan, his strategy, is to get us to focus off of the biblical Christ, off of the truth of our victory in him, and on to error. Well, some of you might be saying, well, I believe, I don't have error. Think about your daily life when trials come in, when things happen. How's the assurance of the victory in Christ going that day? Many times we don't see it because we're blinded by the truth, because we're so focused on so many different things that we don't see our Lord Jesus Christ and who we are in him. It is important, as I said, to preach the gospel to ourselves. His goal is to get us to buy in to the same lies of the world that they are currently deceived by. If the father of lies can get us to believe in something other than the victory we have in Christ, we will be losing the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us, to strengthen us, to get us through the temptations that we have in this world, making us less effective. And yet, brethren, our God, even though we fail, our God is sovereign and all-powerful, and even our weaknesses, even our sin, cannot thwart the ultimate victory that we already have in Christ, which God has ordained from all eternity for you and for me, if we are in him. His sheep, brethren, will never be crushed and never be forsaken, because he was crushed for us. Isaiah 53 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own in his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Brethren, not only was he crushed for our sins, but he was forsaken by his Father so that we would never be forsaken. We would never experience the wrath of God for our sin. He goes on to say, because he poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The Apostle John is a pastor. And he knows that there are false teachers all around, including in his own flock, who have the spirit of the Antichrist. They are teaching error, specifically about the deity and the incarnation of Christ. Without the deity and incarnation of Christ, we have no gospel. And so there are many who are teaching a so-called gospel, but it is a spirit of error. It is not possible, they say, for Jesus to have been truly human and truly divine at the same time. And they come up with all kinds of heresy about Christ. It's the same today. There's false teachers everywhere. We have the Jehovah's Witnesses to teach against the deity of Christ. We have many who teach the error concerning Christ about who he is, that he is not a prophet and priest and king. They deny the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, to be one of us, to live a perfect sinless life, to die as a curse and take the wrath of God for us. They don't teach that. And when they don't teach that, they teach error. They teach lies. They teach deception. God sent his Son into the world to save his people from their sins. And whoever believes in him, not some made-up Jesus, but the Word made flesh, Almighty God in the flesh, these will not perish, but will have everlasting life. In the last two verses of chapter 3 here in 1 John, I read verse 22 as well, but verse 23 says, and this is his commandment, because he says, if we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, we ask and we receive. And then in verse 23, he says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. So John speaks of God's commandment to believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came in the flesh, and to love one another, that we could have confidence before him, and we receive what we ask because we desire to please him and do his will when we ask according to his will. And in verse 24, John's focus now goes on to the Holy Spirit. He says, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he, God, in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom God has given us. It is the Spirit of truth. He says that when we keep his commandments, it's the fruit of abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. And he abides in us by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit that abides in all true believers. And we know this incredibly important truth, that we are in union with our God, that we have this fellowship that I mentioned before, this communion, this one, we are one in Christ and one with another. That's why he commands us to believe on this Lord Jesus Christ who came in the flesh, who died for us, and to love one another, because we are all one in the family of God. In other words, it's only by the power of the Spirit that we have this desire to obey, the desire and the ability to obey his command, to believe in his Son, and to love one another. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you love the brethren, that's a test of being a Christian. You could be assured that you are one in him. No unbeliever loves and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and loves one another, desires to love one another. Of course, we all fail to love one another as we should. We fail to love God as we should. But our wills have been changed, and we are in union with him. So in the first section now, as we get to 1 John chapter 4, he wants to assure us that we can know the spirit of truth and know the spirit of error by what is taught about Jesus Christ and whether one agrees or disagrees with the apostolic teaching. So John begins in verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits where they are of God, because many false teachers have gone out into the world." John uses this word, beloved. He does it 5 times in this epistle, and this word is used dozens of times by the writers of the New Testament. Paul, James, John, Peter use this word to encourage the Christians to believe, to reckon, to rest their faith on the fact that they are loved by God, highly esteemed by God, not because of anything in them, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for no other reason. Not because of anything we do, not because of anything we don't do, not because of anything in us, but simply and only because of God's electing love for you before eternity began. It is simply God's electing love. And it's his love for his Son, and it's his love for us in his Son, that we can be assured of victory. If we can be deceived into believing and thinking otherwise, we will be thrown off course, and the joy that God desires for us to live in, we are to live in the joy of knowing who we are in Christ, we will fail to have that joy. Our testimony to the world will be hidden under the bushel. Our light will grow dim, but thank God our light will never go out, because it is all about him and not about us. So verse 1, he says, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. There are many voices that vie for your and my attention. Children, be careful, and adults who are addicted to their phones, be careful what you read. Children, be careful what you read. Make sure your parents know who you're reading, what you're reading on your phone. There are many voices that bring error, that bring deception. And that is, they're on TV, they're on radio, they're on the internet, they're on social media, and sadly, even in our churches. We have many false teachers, we have many false prophets in our even coming into our homes, which we need to keep out for the sake of our children. They don't preach the Jesus of the Bible. 1 John 2 that we preached on earlier, it says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? That one, he is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And in 2 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, he says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess that Jesus comes in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist. Whoever transgresses in verse 9 and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. They can talk about God all they want. If they don't believe in the doctrine of Christ and his humanity and his deity, they have not God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has the Father and the Son. We know there are no more prophets, no more prophets to come, no more apostles. We have the canon of Scripture completed, which is sufficient for all things for us. We have the truth. We have all the truth that we need. And we need to be Bereans, testing anyone who claims to speak the word of God. The Apostle Paul tells the Ephesian church that they are fellow citizens with all the saints and members of the household of God, and all of us are members of his household, being built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. They laid the foundation upon the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, and we all grow into the holy temple of the Lord. Are you growing into the holy temple of the Lord? The prophets came, completed their work, and we now have the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his completed word for our guide. In verse 2, he says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into flesh is of God." We know that someone speaks that by the Spirit of God if they confess the Jesus of Scripture. The fruit of their lips must confess the Son of God who came in the flesh. To confess is to agree. To agree with what the apostles and here the apostle John has said by the Holy Spirit of Christ. In the first chapter of the epistle, John said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled this word of life, the life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare, we confess to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." The Holy Spirit lives in each believer, and we confess that Jesus, the Son of God, has come in the flesh. And this Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, is who we are assured of who we are in him. No one, the Apostle Paul tells us, can confess that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the living God, the third person of the Trinity, is the one who brought forth the Son of God in the womb of Mary to take on sinless flesh. For Mary had not known a man, but was told by the angel Gabriel that what was conceived in her womb was by the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, the God, the third person of the Trinity, sustained the Son of God throughout his earthly ministry. And Jesus grew strong in spirit and in wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him, and it was all by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved son." John's calling you, if you're a Christian, a beloved son or daughter. And Jesus is the beloved son in God. With him, I am well pleased. And Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit was the one who led him into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days by the devil and sustained him for that 40 days. That is the power of the Spirit that we have in us. So it is that we can know when one speaks of Jesus Christ as the God-man, he is speaking by the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle, speaking of this by the Spirit in Romans 1, says, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power." How? According to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And every spirit, verse 3, every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. So the spirit of the Antichrist is the spirit of falsehood, the spirit of lies, and it is of the world. and they are against God and against his church. Matthew 7, we read earlier, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by your fruits. Your pastors are responsible to make sure that we don't have ravenous wolves attacking the sheep. That is part of the shepherd's role, is to make sure that the sheep are safe from the enemy, from falsehood, from lies. In John, verse 4, John turns back to the beloved and calls them little children. I'm a little older than many of you, so it's hard for me to think of myself as a little child, but you need to think of yourself as a child, a little child. He says here, you are of God. And this is a critical statement for John here. You, he says, are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's them? Those who don't know God, the spirit of the Antichrist, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Here, John says that the spirit of the Antichrist cannot defeat us. He cannot control us because we are from God. We are of God by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And we have been recreated as new creatures in Christ Jesus, as he has justified us, and he has accepted us as righteous in the beloved, and he has adopted us into his family, and we are now his children. That's why John calls the believers he's writing to little children. They, like all true believers, have become little children. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said, I say to you, unless you are converted, young children, listen again, unless you are converted and become as little children, well, you're already, some of you, little children, some of you are bigger children, but unless you become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child, the one that Jesus had on his lap, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? You need to be like a little child. You need to have the faith and humility of a little child. We are the beloved of God, dear children. And if we are God's children, we have overcome the world and we have overcome the spirit of the Antichrist through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who come in the spirit of the Antichrist are of the world. They are either deceived themselves or they knowingly and willingly come to deceive you and deceive me. But we have the Spirit of God. We have the power of God to resist, and we know the truth. Our helper, brethren, the Holy Spirit, is the revealer. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals all truth to us. If we are not in the Word of God, we are not getting the truth revealed to us that we need to hear. God has the bread. God has the food. The Holy Spirit takes that food and he enables us to digest it and to have the power that it provides for us. And we need to be in his word. Greater is he says, the Spirit of God who is in you, Christian, than he, the spirit of the Antichrist who is in the world. By this Spirit, we know the truth and we are set free from this world and all its attachments and all it draws in, including the political realm, which sucks us in to anger and all kinds of things because we think we have control and our God, the truth is, God's already planned it out. All we do is do our responsibility and we don't worry about what happens. We just do what we're supposed to do and he will take care of the rest. And John in 1 John chapter 5 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. It's being born of God that does all the overcoming, not you, not me. It's being born of God. It's being regenerated by the Holy Spirit. That is your and my victory. It's done. We've been regenerated, called, regenerated, justified in Christ. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We who have been born of God have the power of the Spirit of God, and we can determine the truth through his word. And it's only when the word is preached that agrees with the Holy Scripture that we can accept as the truth. It does not require a degree in theology, but the indwelling of the Spirit of Christ. If you are not, you say, well, you know, I don't know much about this theology stuff. What you need to know is who Jesus Christ is, the God-man who came and died for you so that your sins might be forgiven, and that you have come to him and repented of your sins, and you called upon his name, and he saved you. He made you a new creature in Christ. That's what you need to know, and that you are indwelt with the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. The power that resides in us is the same Holy Spirit that raised our Lord from the dead. And those who do not speak about the truth in the Scriptures concerning Christ and the gospel, the grace that has saved us, you and me and all those who have come to him, must be spoken of the truth by the Bible and by the Scriptures. It says, Isaiah chapter 8 says, to the law and the testimony, if they don't speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. According to this word, they must speak. And verse 5 says here, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. This is the fruit of the false prophets that we read in Matthew 7. They speak of worldly things. They speak of, as we heard this morning, they speak of success. They speak of material gain. They speak of health and wealth. They speak of all that's good for you, for yourself. It's not about love for the brethren. It's not about love for Christ. It's about yourself. And that is what the world is all about. And they speak from this world, John says, and the world listens, right? Jesus said, if you love me, they're going to hate you just like they hated me. They may not listen to you. That doesn't mean we don't preach the gospel. That doesn't mean we don't share the gospel. God uses whatever we do to accomplish his perfect will. And the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy about those who will listen to false teachers. He said, for the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. We know that. But according to their own desires, they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. They love to hear these worldly false teachers, the ones who fill the stadium and tell you that God has a wonderful plan for your life to be prosperous and to have everything you want. All you got to do is ask. And if you don't get it, it's because you don't have enough faith. They have itching ears, and they would turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And these were the same teachers John was concerned about. And lastly, in verse 6, he says, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John goes from you are of God to we are of God. He's speaking to him about himself and all the apostles and the doctrine of the apostles. All who do not believe these words, which are the very words of God, are not of God. John in this verse is referring to those who left the church that he described in chapter 2 as the many antichrists who have come. He says in verse 19 of chapter 2, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. If they were of us, they would have continued. But they went out that they might be made manifest, shown that they are not of us, that none of them were of us. So we who are of God, brethren, we know the truth. We have ears to hear the truth, but we need to be in the truth so that the Spirit of God will give us what we need to live life every single day. We need to be in the Scriptures daily. We need to be meditating on the Scriptures. Jesus said the distinguishing mark of those who have been saved by grace are those who are the true sheep of Christ, who are obedient to his words. He said, my sheep hear my words, and I know them. That's why in chapter 7, he didn't know those people. They didn't hear his words. They heard their own words. They were doing their own thing. They were doing the thing of the spirit of error, the spirit of the Antichrist. But my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. What a truth to stand upon every single day. And verse 6b says, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What does he mean when he says, by this we know? Well, we know who is of God and who is not of God by whether they hear and believe the teaching about the true word of God. Those who do not obey, those who don't obey and don't teach the apostolic teaching are not of God. If you go to a church and you're moving and you visit there and they have this scripture right here and they start talking about something else, they are not of God. Those who do not obey the apostolic teaching are not of God, and we know that they have, John says, the spirit of error. Those who obey, those who love the apostles' teaching, and teach others the same, have the spirit of truth. They are of God. And lastly, 1 Thessalonians, Paul, in chapter 2, Paul speaking to those who have been born again by the living word, says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, you loved it, you took it in, not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe." The word of God effectively works in you who believe. If you're not in it, it's not working for you, right? And so the important applications, well, I'll take a few minutes just to give us a few, two applications, brethren, which we need to stand upon. It is the truth of our new birth. He says, you are of God. That description, that never changes. You are of God. And that will never change. And so we have the certainty. We have the victory. And the battle is won. We have the assurance that we will overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have been called out of darkness, out of our natural state, into the light of grace and salvation by Christ. He has enlightened our minds spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God. And our heart of stone has been replaced with the heart of flesh, and we are made willing. We were made willing to turn from our sin and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This calling and this regeneration gives us the certain hope that Peter describes as the certain hope of eternal life is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The doctrine of regeneration, brethren, is critical to our walk and our joy in the Lord. It assures us of our victory based on the realities that we have overcome this world by the new birth, by faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and by the sovereign power of Christ that dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. To believe otherwise would make the victory dependent upon us, upon what we do, upon what we don't do. It is not dependent upon us. Thanks be to God, our victory does not come down to moral fortitude, even our devotion to Christ or our personal holiness, but upon the power of Christ and the nature of salvation in Christ. Our justification, when we were generated and justified, is not based on anything we do. We are more than conquerors in Him who loved us. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. This miracle of the new birth is what we have to stand on as our assurance of our victory in Christ. He transforms us into this new creature, and now we delight in the Word of God. We delight in our Lord Jesus Christ. Without this awesome work of God, salvation would simply be dependent on our right decisions, which would be a disaster. And so, brethren, we stand upon the repentance that we have come to our Lord, and He has forgiven us and cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, and we can stand on that sure foundation that we have. We've been given the righteousness of Christ, not our own, and God looks upon us as His Son. He loves us as He loves His Son. That same love, that amazing, steadfast, eternal love, is the love that He has for His Son and for you and for me who are in Christ. Let us stand upon that rock. Sometimes, like the Apostle Paul, we're perplexed with trials. We do not despair, though, because we have been justified by faith alone. We are strengthened with all might and power by the Holy Spirit, and we can have long-suffering even with joy. And finally, brethren, our joy and our peace is bound up in this doctrine of the new birth. We can never get away from the gospel that we have been born again by the Spirit of God and that our sins have been forgiven because we have repented of our sins. That's why Paul could say in the end of Romans, he could say, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, in standing upon the rock, that you may abound in hope." How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we, our joy and our peace is in believing, in standing upon the rock. And lastly, brethren, The second application relates to our sanctification. We have a new heart and a new spirit, and the Lord dwells in us, and we are made more and more into the image of God. The dominion of sin is destroyed, and the evils of our flesh are weakened more and more as we do what we're called to do, to put to death the deeds of the body, be in the Word of God, be with the brethren as we are tonight, be under all of the doctrines that we can be under to learn as we're learning in Sunday school. About the doctrines of our faith that we can stand upon and we can be assured of. But beware, brethren, one of the strategies of the evil one is to encourage spiritual ignorance, lethargy, and unbiblical thinking. Biblical thinking results in biblical living. Gross errors, Thomas Brooks wrote, makes the heart foolish and renders the life loose. Remember I say the way is narrow? Well, we're saved because we went that narrow road, but it's a hard road because we're commanded to stay on that narrow road. We're commanded not to go on the broad road and be loose. That's what the world would say, right? Oh, man, you Christians, you're too tight. You're too uptight. Yeah, I'm uptight because I'm in love. Love with Christ. And I want to please him. And so how many times, brethren, have we been rendered foolish? Because the enemy has taken the truth of who we are in Christ from our minds, and then we begin the gospel. The true gospel is forgotten in the sense of all of a sudden it depends on us. All of a sudden, all of this depends on us. But yes, we are commanded. Even our sanctification is by the Spirit of God and by the power of the Spirit. But most times, it is not the reason we have our difficulties of standing upon the rock is because we are not steadfast in our corporate and personal devotions. We become lazy in Bible reading, meditating on the Word, and in our prayer. And when that happens, we miss out on the influence of the Holy Spirit to help us, to teach us, to reveal the truth to us as we look into the Scriptures. It's only by the Holy Spirit that our minds are transformed by the gospel. And when we're weak in our devotional life, one of the main tactics of the devil is to say, we don't really need those means of grace. We start to skip some of the worship services. We start to think, why do I have to attend that prayer meeting? Why do they keep saying we have to attend the prayer meetings? Aren't they being a little legalistic? Is the Lord's Supper really that important? I can always go next month. Why should I be accountable to the local church? Why should I have counsel with my pastors? Do they really need to know everything about me? Satan gets us to have a low opinion of the means of grace. We ought to not to have that, brethren. We ought to be standing on what God has given to us. And he gets us to have that low opinion. And these means of grace, brethren, help us grow in our faith. And as we continue to hear the Word, pray the Word, get counsel in the Word, we continue to think biblically, and therefore we live biblically. So, brethren, John reminds us that we are of God. We have been born of him. We have overcome the spirit of this world, the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, by the power of the Spirit of God, who dwells in us and is always with us. Let us remind ourselves daily that we are new creatures in Christ, all by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us remind ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. Let us think deep, Lord, that we are of you. You have made us new. You have made us into one with you. You have made us into one with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and filled us with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, no matter how we feel, no matter the trials we're going through, help us, oh Lord, to remember that you have given us the power because we have already overcome by the new birth that you have done for us by grace, not of ourselves that we should boast. Lord God, we thank you for the new birth. We thank you for the means of grace that sanctifies us. Help us, Lord, to be steadfast. We're commanded, Lord, by in your scripture to be diligent and steadfast, even though we grow only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to receive the revelation that you have for us in your word, to teach us to think biblically and to live biblically. Help us, O God, and thank you, O Lord, for who we are. That what you've done for us is an absolutely amazing thing. How could we not rejoice in you? We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.